Yeah? It's not Derby, no. Rose, you're going to say that? No? No, certainly not. No, it wasn't. It's been in two of the songs that we've sung already this evening. It's one of the words on there, on the poster. Close? Hope. Hope. There's a town in Derbyshire, very near Castleton, in the Peak District, very lovely place, called Hope. It's where, if you've heard of the Blue John Caverns and the mines underneath the hills, it's very near there. That's called Hope. The road that runs between the two cathedrals is Hope Street. And my dad has been hoping to win this Reader's Digest prize for 40 years now. So, Hope. What marks a Christian out? In what ways is he or she different? What does he or she have that the world does not have? You will know that passage in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church in chapter 13, much used at weddings, where he's talking about love. Love is patient, love is kind, etc. The chapter ends with these words, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's exactly what Craig has just quoted to us. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord overrules, leads it all together? Faith, hope, and love. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. You hear lots about faith. You hear preachers talking about faith every time they step into the pulpit, every time they talk. You must have faith in God through Jesus Christ. To be a Christian, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He came to and lived on the earth for a while. He died a sacrificial death, taking upon himself the punishment for our sins. He rose again, victorious over death, and now sits in heaven praying for us. This is faith. This is the Christian faith. These are the things you believe if you're a Christian. You have to have faith. One of the three things, faith. In the letter to the Hebrews 11 verse 6 we read, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith, the most fundamental requirement of being a Christian. Love, one of the other three words. Love. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. All men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's in John's Gospel. And in John's letter, his first letter, we read, no one has ever seen God. But if we, Christians, love each other, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is the Christian's reaction, his response to God's gracious and sacrificial love. If we recognize that we benefit from God's love, enjoying that love also includes loving each other and others outside there with that same love. God's people are a loving people. Faith, love. Yes. Okay, we know that. Faith is fundamental to the Christian. Love is the response to God first loving us. Lots of sermons, lots of books, lots of tapes about faith and about love. But what about hope? That verse said, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. You say, I can see faith and love are vitally important, but where does hope come in? When was the last sermon you heard hope mentioned? Well, in fact, you did hear it mentioned briefly last week. Derek did mention it. But it's not talked about anywhere near as much as faith and love. But it's one of the three things that Paul says mark out a Christian: faith, hope, and love. I don't know whether you've heard, but this year has seen a massive outreach throughout the country organised by the church, and it's been called Hope 08. The world needs hope, but it needs Christian hope. Surely we should talk about it more. Well, you'll be pleased to know, I'm going to. The Christian has hope. But what is hope? Well, I want to talk about what it isn't first, before I come to talk about what it is and what it means for us now and in the future. You'll know the story of the man who was going to swim the channel, swimming from the coast near Folkestone, going straight across to the nearest part of the north coast of France. And his effort got lots of media coverage. He was always on the television, he got coverage in the newspapers, and in one of these interviews on the television, he explained what he was going to try to do. He said, "I'm hoping to swim the channel, and I'm hoping not to collide with any oil tankers in the middle of the channel." When asked how long it was going to take him, he answered, "I hope to do it within a day, because I don't know any hotels in the middle of the channel where I'll be able to spend the night." So, he swam. Well, he succeeded in two of his three hopes. He didn't collide with any oil tankers, and he did get out of the water before the end of the day. But unfortunately, he failed in his hope to swim right across. He nearly made it. He got three quarters of the way across, then decided he wasn't going to make it, so he swam back again. Think about it. This is what the world means by hope. When a person in the world, without faith in God, hopes that something is going to happen, this means that they want something to happen really badly. But they don't know, they can't tell whether it's actually going to happen or not. There is some doubt. That man hoping to swim the channel didn't know whether he was going to make it or not, he was just hoping to. Lots of athletes in the Olympic Games were hoping to win a medal. But the other athletes around them had the same hope, and they had something about to say about it. Some hopes were not fulfilled. Look at the presidential nominees conventions in America that we've seen this week. Some people are passionately hoping, and the Americans are passionate. You can see them on the television weeping and crying at these conventions. Some people are passionately hoping that Barack Obama will become president later on this year. But there are an equal number of people hoping, passionately hoping, that John McCain will become president. Half of the people in America will have their hopes dashed. You see, the man without faith in God has no certainty about the outcome of his hopes. His hopes are firstly very much dependent upon his own personality. If he's an optimist, he may have high hopes, but they may be totally unrealistic and so doomed to failure. If he's a pessimist, he probably doesn't have any hopes, and he feels he's on his way to certain destruction anyway. And the person out there's hopes are also based on what is around him. And what is around him is a world which is totally imperfect, a world that is corrupt, a world made up of men and women all wanting their hopes and dreams to come true, even at the expense of others. Hope can never be expectation in this world, because it depends on so many different factors outside the control of the person who is hoping. Or the other way around, the corrupt man's hopes may be foiled by the common good. Thank God that there are examples of this still. For example, Robert Mugabe hoped that people would let him do whatever he wanted to hold on to power in Zimbabwe. Fortunately, the world thought otherwise. His hopes were foiled. You may be hoping that I'm not going to talk for long this evening. I might. I might not. But it's out of your control. This is not what it means when you talk about a Christian's hope. Richard Sibbes, a theologian who lived at the beginning of the 17th century, wrote, "The nature of hope is to expect that which faith believes. The nature of hope is to expect that which faith believes." So hope is vitally and inextricably linked to our faith. Where there is no faith, there can be no hope. Without faith in God, you are without hope. the Spanish language, correct me if I'm wrong here, Raf, Spanish has a word esperar, and this word esperar means to hope, and it comes from the same root as our word aspirations. We aspire to something, we hope for something. But esperar also means to wait for. It also means to expect. The Spanish have got it right here at least. This is the Christian's hope, is what he's also waiting for. It is what he's also expecting. The man or woman who has faith in God has a hope that is certain. That's what we sang in one of our songs earlier. So certain that we are expecting, because their hope, our hope, will come true. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 we read, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." How can the Christian's hope be secure? How can it be certain? Well, it can, because our hope is dependent not on imperfect, sinful and corrupt man, but on an all-powerful God, perfect God, on a sinless and righteous Jesus, because our hope comes as a result of Jesus' death and resurrection. Our hope is not at the mercy of the world around us and what men can do, but it is founded on the mercy of grace and a loving God. That's how the hope of the Christian can be firm and secure, because it is based on the character and the power of God. What is the Christian hope? Let's turn to that then. What does the Bible say is the hope of every Christian? Could you read a couple of verses from Colossians? The letter to the Colossians. In the blue Bible it's on page 1183. So it'll be round about there in the red ones. 1183. Colossians in chapter 1 and verses 25 to 27. Just three verses. Colossians chapter 1 verse 25. Paul writes, "I have become its," and he's talking about the churches, "I have become the church's servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to whom God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And that's what I want us to concentrate on. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the first verse of Paul's first letter to Timothy, he says he is an apostle by the command of Christ Jesus, our hope. Paul says Jesus is our hope. All our hope is in Jesus and what he has done. The wonderful mystery of God that we've just been reading about brings glorious riches, because it brings Jesus to us. And in a miraculous way, what he has done for us brings him into our life. We are made like new creations, born again, the Bible says. Jesus lives in us by his Holy Spirit. In our morning services, we've been reading John's Gospel recently, and we've been reading the section where Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time when and after he is crucified. At one point, Jesus says he will send the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, to teach his disciples and remind them of all Jesus said to them. In a mysterious and miraculous way, the Holy Spirit does those same things in every Christian today. Christ in you. The Apostle Paul says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me," in Galatians. Paul says that the Colossian Christians have the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for them in heaven. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for them in heaven. We see again, faith and love springing from the hope see the three things listed again together. He says, though that our hope is stored up for us in heaven, it is the hope of glory. The Christ that now lives by his Spirit inside the Christian is also now in heaven. In Paul's letter to Titus, we read that because Jesus Christ is our Saviour, we become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Because Jesus died and rose again, we too can look forward to rising to eternal life in heaven, to eternal life in heaven and sharing in God's glory. How wonderful. How amazing. Just let me repeat it. Because Jesus died and rose again, we too can look forward to rising to eternal life in heaven, sharing God's glory. This is our hope. There is no doubt. It's not a matter of it may or it may not happen. The Christian hope is firm and secure. It is certain. It will happen. We just don't know when. We're encouraged in Titus again to wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. So this tells us that our hope will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. The Bible clearly says that Jesus will come again and everybody will recognise him as King, as we were singing earlier. When he broke into history the first time, he came to give himself for us. But when he breaks into history a second time, it will be glorious. Everyone will know him for who he is, God, Saviour and King, Lord over all. He will come to take with him all those who believe in him and trust totally in his work on the cross for their salvation. Hope will then be fulfilled. Hope of glory, eternal life in glory in heaven with God. Have you ever waited for something exciting to happen? And you have that tingling feeling and you can't stop thinking about it, you can't sleep at night, especially the night before it's going to happen, and you're absolutely ecstatic when it finally does happen. Well, there's a passage in the letter to the Romans that tells us that all of creation is waiting in eager expectation for the hope of Christians to be fulfilled. All creation is waiting for the full glory to be revealed, so that it can be liberated from the effects of sin. Creation is suffering at the moment with the effects of sin. It's being corrupted. But on that day, it will be liberated from the effects of sin, free from decay and from corruption. So, this hope of the Christian is a world-changing hope. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wait for the blessed hope, Paul says. But what does having this hope mean to us while we are waiting? The actor Christopher Reeve, who played Superman before he was paralysed from the neck down in an accident, he said, "Once you choose hope, anything is possible. Once you choose hope, anything is possible." That's a recommendation from Superman. But this can only be the case for those whose hope is in God, because their hope is in the hands of the Almighty One. God has made some wonderful promises to those who believe in him, and I feel so sorry for those people that haven't discovered this yet, for those who haven't read the Bible with an open mind, because this book contains many wonderful promises for those who hope in him, and the Old Testament and the New Testament gives wonderful promises. Just take one example. Psalm 146, it says, "Blessed is he whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever." God, who demonstrated his great power in creating all things, is faithful and will bless those who know him as their Lord and who place their hope in him. God has promised to use his power to bless those whose hope is in him. It's a mystery, but how wonderful. Do you know something of that blessing in your life? You will, but only if your hope is in God, through Jesus. So hope brings blessing. But what about those difficult times? We all go through difficult times. Even Christians go through times when we suffer, times when it gets a bit tough, going gets a bit sticky. This hope will help us to get through. Remember, the Christian's hope of glory is Christ in you. He's promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is with you forever. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, endurance. He remembers their endurance, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So because Jesus is in us, is the guarantee that our hope will be fulfilled. This should inspire us to persevere and endure whatever the world may throw at us. Where are we most vulnerable? I would suggest the head, because the head houses the brain. When we are brain dead, we are dead. Our head needs greatest protection. In order to preserve our Christian life, our head needs greatest protection. And that's why we are encouraged, again in 1 Thessalonians, to protect ourselves. Let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Yet again, we have faith, love, and hope mentioned together as essentials of the Christian faith. Let hope of salvation be a protective helmet. The devil is described at one point in the Bible as a prowling lion, stalking his prey, waiting for any opportunity to pounce. He's just waiting for the moment to distract us from God, to rob us of our closeness to God. Let the hope of glory protect you from succumbing to him. If the devil wants something to eat, don't let's feed him. Let's starve him to death. Let our hope have a positive effect on the way we go about our daily lives. Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, we must round this off. We've seen that faith, love, and hope are vitally linked together and are essentials of the life of the Christian. Without any of these things, you cannot live the Christian life in fullness. So I think we need to think where we each stand this evening. And that's something that we'll need to take away with us. If we do have faith, if you do have faith given to you by the undeserved grace and mercy of God, then you have the love of God within you. You have Christ in you. You have a certain hope of glory, the hope that one day you will experience heaven. Nothing and no one can take that away from you, because Christ is in you. You have the hope of glory, and this will inspire you in your everyday life. You can know peace, know joy, because you know your hope is firm and secure in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful message of hope. Father, we thank you for our faith and our love and our hope in you. We thank you that because Christ is in us, we have this hope which is certain and sure. Nothing and nobody can take this away from us, like nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can take this hope away from us. Father, we praise you and we thank you that our hope of eternal life with you in heaven will be fulfilled one day. We thank you that we can look forward to that day because our hope will be fulfilled. Father, may we live our lives accordingly. May we know that we are children not of this world, but of another world. Father, we're just passing through on our way to eternity in heaven. Father, help this, our hope of glory, inspire our thoughts, inspire our deeds, inspire the way we live. May we truly live lives which are glorifying you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.